I'll give it a few minutes, see who all scoop in here. If not, this is going to be a singular episode. Give it 2 more minutes. If anyone listening, that's going to be on Spotify, all those places. So about 5 minutes in, you can skip to. That's when it'll start. So, how everybody doing today? This is Franklin Walks. And then this is the second season, well, technically third season of the Studio One podcast. The first 4 episodes of season 2 are actually up right now on the Spotify, our radio, Apple, Anchor FM right now. So if you're actually one of the followers or people I follow, and you know you've been on my spaces talking, you can go run through those first 4 episodes, see if you have anything on there specifically that'll be said. And then I'll probably send you thumbnails or whatever that shit is called, where you can put it right on the link to the timestamp. Yeah, whatever the time step you're in, that's when I'll send it to you. But yeah, so now we're starting up season two, and I want to get into some deeper topics because season one it focused on it focused on a lot of things. Focused on a lot of things. A lot of basic level concepts like people not wanting to have children, what does oppression really look like? Yeah, episodes about good and evil at a base level, about villainy. Just a bunch of different topics relating to specific, just beginner level things. Like even the book reviews were about Oliver Twist and The Count of Monte Cristo, pretty base level books, right? So in these, in this season, I kind of want to get a bit grittier, a bit deeper, a bit darker into the certain topics because I didn't get the chance to, and I'm not gonna say get the chance to. The second season was a pretty good experiment on how to run spaces like this and switch it over to a podcast. So pretty well versed in it right now. And this space I want to do today is about the concept of retribution. And I say retribution. I speak on retribution because not everyone most people are not bad people. I'm sure we all can agree to that. Most people do not walk around with the intent to do bad. Most people do not walk around with the intent to just to be a fuck person. You feel what I'm saying? The people that do are more often than not already locked up in an insane asylum because that's psychopathy. But even the people that be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck what nobody think about me, they're not aiming to be bad people. They just don't give a fuck about the rectification of their or the consequences of their reputation, which doesn't really make you bad necessarily, which is why I say it's an amoral concept. Now, I speak on the nature of people most people not being bad because when someone does do something wrong, and they accept that it is wrong, there's a certain guilt that is their own people. Let's say the person ideally accepts that they are the perpetrator of a situation. My bad. Ideally, say that they're a perpetrator of a situation, right? So if they are the perpetrator of said situation, and they know they're wrong and they feel guilty, what is the next course of action that offered? You delve out some sort of punishment, and then after that, the person willingly accepts, they would like their chance at retribution because they've committed an action that they have now acknowledged was against the character that they want to be, which is i.e. a good person. And if this chance of retribution is not offered, what happens to these people? Well, we can see it in jail when people have life sentences with no parole. They tend to be just the worst people in there. They rack up more charges. They'll just beat anybody else like, shit, I mean, I'm in here for life anyway. I might as well, you feel what I'm saying? And that's how a lot of things go. And that's what I mean by when there's no chance at retribution. When there's no chance at retribution, you lock a person into the mindset that they are the bad person because they committed the action. That once you lock someone in an environment that forces them to adopt another personality, they're forced to adopt the reason for adopting that personality. And so if a person is in jail, say a person, just keep it simple, commits a crime and steals from a store in a fit of, I need this money, I need this money, I need to get this money, blah, blah, blah. What if for whatever reason they needed the money, as long as it wasn't trivial, they needed the money and they stole, right? A real life situation where they had to steal. Does this make them a bad person? No, they committed a bad action. Now, this person goes to jail. Say for some reason some three strikes program came out, now this person has life, right? No longer offered the chance at let me not use that example because he's had two chances at retribution in a three strike example. But let's say a guy got caught with some, back then, use an example, a guy getting caught with marijuana illegally. Marijuana is illegal, therefore it makes it a bad action to do something against the law. And so now the guy gets caught up for 20 years in the system because he had a couple grams of weed on him. Now, is this person a bad person? No, they committed a bad action in the name of the law, which is housing an illegal drug. So now they're in jail. They're in this environment that forces them to be their darkest self, that have to be in tune with their most aggressive, most primal self in order to survive. And then they know the only reason that they're in that situation is because they committed a bad action. So every bad action or everything, every dark, aggressive, Machiavellian action that they have to commit after that, it's an umbrella from the first bad action. And then it develops into a personality, because a chain of actions develops into behavior, develops into persona. So now this person becomes a bad person because it's not okay, it's always, obviously, but this person becomes a bad person because they've been forced to believe they are a bad person, because only the most evil of us don't get a chance of retribution. If you murdered somebody before, very low chances of retribution. If you've done anything like the if you've assaulted someone sexually, or if you kidnap somebody's kids, anything of that nature, you have very low chances of retribution. These are not bad actions you've committed. These are evil actions. And evil actions are the ones that almost do not need retribution, because they are only governed by the actions of the devil. And so that's what I mean by no retribution. And we cannot be so against giving people the chance at retribution. Because, for example, there are many games, and there are games in life, and they've all break down into two types of games. There's games with meaning, and then there's games for enjoyment. Now, all games with meaning offer the chance at redemption. If you get punched in the face during the boxing, you don't have to do shit but keep moving forward, and you can, even if you get knocked down, you can still win the fight because you're offered the chance to redeem yourself from committing an error. In basketball, if you miss a shot, commit a turnover, even if you lose a game, you're allowed to make up that game. You're still allowed to start a lineup. You're still allowed to have the same amount of touches, and you're still allowed to keep going and shooting no matter what just happened. Or even baseball, if you strike out, you're offered another at bat. Football, you're offered a fumble, you got a whole another chance to get on the field, and you got another drive after that. And that's what I mean by these games with meaning offer redemption. Even when we talk about the game of dating, you feel what I'm saying, if you mess up, chances will be a woman, I'm just speaking as a man, a woman will give you the chance at redemption. I'm not going to say she's going to give you a full chance, but you will receive the chance at redemption, because it has meaning. In most chances with our deepest relationships, we are offered the chances at redemption. So these are all the games that matter. The games for enjoyment, they do not offer the chance of retribution. When someone, for example, if we're going to go back to romantic relationships, if they're just playing romantic games with you for enjoyment, then it's clearly not for redemption or retribution. If someone in your life has not offered you, if y'all get into an argument and it's just a misunderstanding, and the other person does not offer reconciliation, then that's for enjoyment. They're enjoying that little power dynamic, because if you're two people enjoying people, there's always the chance for retribution. So, and that's what I mean. Games for enjoyment are often games for children. You think of hopscotch, you have to restart if you fuck up at a certain square. You feel what I'm saying? If you think of tag, if you tag somebody else and you get tagged again, now you have to restart from square one. If you plan hide and seek and you get found, boom, now you have to start again from square one. You feel what I'm saying? That's what children do. Any game for adults, the chance to reproduce. You get at poker, you feel what I'm saying? If a motherfucker takes your money, all right, bet. You got money again, let's bet it back. You feel what I'm saying? Because there's no grown man that's not going to say, they're not going to give you the chance to get your money back. You feel what I'm saying? Or if we're talking about it's just any games that matter, the chance for retribution and redemption is offered, because they know that in order for it, even for the game to just be fun at the end of the day, a nigga has to be able to come back, because often we know that humans are not inclined to either go with their first thought, or that they're not necessarily bad people. They're just making the actions that they feel is right in the moment. And you can't, obviously you can blame someone for making an action that ends up being bad, even though they felt right in the moment. But the understanding that they did, that they were doing as they were right, means that the chance for retribution is there. And I don't think people often think about retribution enough, because they don't know that when you don't get retribution, that's your first brush with any type of death. That's your first brush with any type of advent of no return. You committed this action and there's no return from it. That's a form of death. Anything in the past was dead to you. You're no longer allowed to reform the past, relive the past, or rectify the past. You are the past, which means you are dead. And nobody understands that. It leads to a form of nihilism where people believe the bad actions that they make are just them as a person. You feel what I'm saying? And it's almost terrible how I see it in the world, because nobody, it forces us into a state of rugged individualism. And when we're in this state of rugged individualism, there is no room for community, because communities offer retribution. If someone wrongs the community outside of a bet, like an evil action, then the community says, okay, this is your punishment, and then here's your time for retribution. That's just how it goes. So when you're not people that don't offer retribution, you often can, or even reconciliation, you often see that they like to play games. And it's not even play games in the sense that, oh, they're playing games. It's just they view life as a game. They do not take certain things seriously. They don't believe, just because they believe that if it's a game, it's not serious. And that's what I cannot, that's what I can't rock with. And that's why I made the title Dead Men Walk Alone, because men who have been offered no retribution just tend to go off on their own, and they are what they are. And these, like I said before, no retribution is your first brush with death, and too many brushes with death leaves dead men. And these dead men walk alone. You can't blame these men for being as they are, being literal zombies, inhumane, because they've never been offered this type of humanity. That's the base form of humanity. One of the base form concept of humanity is the offer of redemption, because in the wild, you don't get redemption. If you get attacked, if you fall off, if you miss the wrong mark, if you miss the wrong turn, miss the wrong tree you pissed on, then you are dead by just natural selection. You feel what I'm saying? So the advent of humanity is our ability to be retributive. And it's often funny to see how people are so quick to not offer it. But then I guess I can understand it, because if they have been, they've also been never offered retribution, which is a lot of the world, how are they going to offer it? I can understand that. And I see my boy Phil down there listening. If you ain't got nothing to say, I'm probably going to end it, because you know they're about 20 minutes to an hour, and it's about to reach the 20-minute mark for sure. But yeah, back to what I was saying about retribution. Redemption is a goal. And if you give a person who committed a bad action a goal to work towards, that means they have to actively do things to work towards that goal. Now, what does this mean? This means, for example, if an addict, if you give them the goal of 30 days, you'll be out of rehab and you'll rehabilitate. You give them a timeline of behaviors that they need to do. And these behaviors commit a change after so long. I believe that the notion is 21 days. So they build a habit into a prospering individual who doesn't always commit these same actions, because they've trained up different behaviors that avoid that type of mentality. And regression is when they're back close to those bad decisions. When they get closer, they get to those bad decisions. That's an anxiety that they feel regarding those decisions. And it's a heavy anxiety. My hypothesis is that's why they end up regressing in, because that anxiety becomes too much. And I can understand that, you feel what I'm saying? But the point I was making was about redemption as a goal. And if you offer it as a goal, you're forcing the behaviors needed to achieve that goal. You're forcing the behaviors needed to erase that behavior by enacting them to achieve that goal. And that's what I want to speak about, retribution and redemption, because I want to keep this season, if it's just me talking, I want to keep it short, just little excerpts, you know what I'm saying, for people to listen to, because I'm going to start up doing interviews and stuff about certain topics. Speaking of which, Phil, I'm going to hit you up in a minute, because I got an interview I want to set up with you and whatnot. But everybody, that's just what I want to speak on about redemption, because I wanted it to be a very short episode, because it's the opening season one episode. I just wanted it to be a precursor in the type of stuff that I was talking about. Just know that I was getting darker, a bit bare bones, a bit closer to home with the things I'm going to be saying. So, everybody, this has been Franklin Walks of the Studio One Podcast. This has been episode 1 of season 2, Dead Men Walk Alone, and I'll catch y'all later.